Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Great Wave Price Revolutions and the Rhythm of History is a work of economic history by David Hackett Fisher that examines long-term price movements in Western history and their effects on society, politics, and culture. Rather than treating inflation as a narrow monetary problem, Fisher traces recurring price revolutions across several centuries and argues that they often unfold in broad historical waves. The book is both analytical and synthetic. It uses historical price evidence, especially long-run records of grain and other commodity prices, to connect economic change with war, social instability, inequality, intellectual life, and collective attitudes toward order and progress. Its central purpose is to show that inflation and deflation are not just technical economic events, but powerful historical forces that can reshape entire civilizations. The book is written for general readers and scholars alike, combining extensive research with a wide-ranging interpretation of Western history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Fisher frames history as a sequence of long price revolutions. The core structure of the book is Fisher's idea that Western history can be understood through several major price revolutions, or waves, rather than through isolated crises. He identifies repeated periods in which prices remain relatively stable for a long time, then begin a sustained rise that eventually produces instability, conflict, and social stress. This framework gives the book its distinctive rhythm equilibrium, inflation, crisis, and renewed equilibrium. Fisher applies the model to major periods such as the High Middle Ages, the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, and the Victorian Age, showing that these are not random economic episodes, but part of a larger pattern. The importance of this approach is that it links chronology to structure. Instead of describing events one by one, Fisher asks what kind of historical environment makes certain political and cultural outcomes more likely. His argument is not that prices alone determine history, but that long price movements create conditions that deeply influence historical development. Secondly, inflation is treated as a social force, not just a monetary one. A major contribution of the book is its insistence that inflation has broad social consequences. Fisher does not present rising prices as a technical problem limited to merchants, governments, or bankers. He argues that persistent inflation tends to redistribute wealth, enlarge the gap between rich and poor, and place pressure on wages, rents, and everyday living standards. That pressure can destabilize households, weaken trust in institutions, and intensify political conflict. In Fisher's interpretation, inflation creates winners and losers in ways that alter social relationships and public expectations. This helps explain why price revolutions are often associated with disorder rather than simple economic adjustment. The book is especially concerned with the way inflation interacts with broader tensions already present in society. Rather than causing social upheaval by itself, it magnifies existing vulnerabilities. This makes the book important for readers interested in economic history because it shows how price changes can influence class relations, state capacity, and the lived experience of ordinary people over long periods. Thirdly, war, revolution, and demographic crisis mark the crest of the wave. Fisher argues that price revolutions tend to culminate in severe historical crises. These crises can take different forms, including war, plague, revolution, famine, and demographic contraction, but they share the feature of breaking the inflationary cycle. The book connects major upheavals such as the Hundred Years' War, the 30 Years' War, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and 20th century instability to prolonged inflationary pressures. Fisher's claim is not that prices mechanically cause these events, but that inflation creates a fragile environment in which conflict becomes more likely and more destructive. He also emphasizes that the crisis phase often leads to deflation or stabilization, followed by a new period of equilibrium. This pattern matters because it gives the book a historical logic. Social breakdown is not an accident outside economic history, but part of the same long wave. For readers, this is one of the book's most provocative ideas, since it suggests that large political and military transformations may be linked to underlying economic rhythms that are easy to miss in shorter historical narratives. Fourthly, cultural climates shift with economic stability and instability. The book goes beyond economics by arguing that price regimes shape cultural and intellectual life. Fisher associates long periods of stability with confidence in order, harmony, reason, and progress. By contrast, inflationary periods tend to produce anxiety, pessimism, and a sense of social unraveling. This contrast gives the book a cultural dimension that distinguishes it from standard economic history. In Fisher's view, major intellectual movements are not separate from material conditions. They often emerge in environments where prices, wages, and social expectations have become more stable. Likewise, periods of crisis can darken the cultural mood and weaken belief in the future. The value of this argument is that it makes historical culture legible as part of a wider system. political ideas, artistic styles, and public morale are treated as responses to deeper changes in economic structure. Readers interested in the history of ideas will find this especially significant, because Fisher suggests that economies do not simply support cultures from the outside. They help form the mental worlds in which people interpret their own age. Lastly, the book offers a historical warning about modern inflation and uncertainty. Although the book is deeply historical, Fisher also connects his analysis to the modern world. He suggests that the 20th century and its later decades may represent another price revolution, with inflationary pressures extending into the contemporary era. The book does not claim to predict exact outcomes, but it warns that inflation can have long and destabilizing consequences, even when it seems manageable in the short term. This makes the work more than a retrospective study. It becomes a cautionary history about the limits of economic control and the risks of assuming that inflation has been permanently mastered. Fisher's treatment of modern history is one reason the book continues to attract attention from readers concerned with public policy, macroeconomic stability, and long-run historical change. At the same time, the argument remains interpretive rather than deterministic. Fisher is careful to emphasize uncertainty and to avoid simple forecasts. That balance between warning and restraint is part of what makes the book distinctive. It offers a broad historical lens without pretending to resolve the future into a fixed pattern. In conclusion, The Great Wave is best suited for readers who want economic history that reaches beyond statistics and policy debates to address the deeper rhythms of Western history. Scholars, students of history, economists interested in long-run structural change, and general readers drawn to big interpretive arguments will all find value in it. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers think about inflation as a social and political phenomenon, with consequences that extend far beyond price indexes. Its intellectual benefit is broader. Still, it challenges linear historical thinking by proposing recurring waves of stability, inflation, and crisis. What sets the book apart from many other works in economic history is its scope. Fisher does not isolate markets from culture or politics. He places them in a single historical framework and traces their mutual influence across centuries. Even when readers disagree with parts of the model, the book remains distinctive for its ambition, its historical range, and its willingness to connect material change to the mental and institutional life of society. It stands out as a synthesis that is both challenging and memorable, especially for readers interested in how large economic forces shape civilization over time. If you would like to support David Hackett Fisher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.